It's funny that I was thinking at the back is like, in worship, why do I just say the name Jesus? It's just crazy. I don't know. I can't remember where it is. I was trying to pull it up to see. But there is a scripture that basically says, when you take the name of the Lord, it's like anointing coming down on you. And many years ago, it just became this routine in my life, just taking the name of Jesus and just worship and just saying Jesus. There's just something beautiful about that name, Jesus. What became like a routine to me just brings back love every time I just take that name, Jesus. I have a lot of tricks I use, which were tricks, and then until I understand the real meaning of why that name became so real to me. You see, it was the need for the anointing, wanting the anointing, and wanting to be able to do the mighty works of God. And then you just meet the person of Jesus. And it changes everything. It just changes everything. I enjoy that. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Sometimes it's when we preach, right? We want it to be a very good message. We want it to be a happy message. We want it to be that. But this is Paul basically telling Timothy, is preach the message, correct, rebuke, for training in righteousness. And what has happened is, like, I feel this very strongly, is like, the word given to me was, come and get oil. You see? And come and get oil is like, you know, like to babes, you say, come and get milk. And I have a lot of message, right, out here. And that is like my points. And I was like, God, how do I condense it? And he just says, it's like, you like half and half in your coffee. I was like, yeah. He's like, don't worry, I'll condense it. It becomes more palatable and all. What has happened is that we basically just taken skim milk. We have replaced the real milk that we need to really be consuming. And then from the real milk is like when you graduate to drinking good coffee, you want half and half. So just like, you know, so I'm like, oh, okay. God has this way of like communicating. It's that thing. But we have to come to that point where I believe in this time and age is that we have come to this where God wants us to have these years. I was standing and looking at that painting at the back, and it's really supposed to mean angel's wings. But when I keep looking at it, I just see years over there. And I just like, why does that look like a year to me? It's like a funny looking year, but it's still a year to me. And he's like, you're my voice. You're my voice. You're what I have to say. And at this time, we are coming into a point because it's like, you know, if you have your light, right, and greater darkness shows up, is your light still bright enough to be a light in that? See, we have to ask ourselves that. Is like, you're carrying a revelation of when possibly you got saved. And that's your light, right? But you have not done anything for that light to increase. You have not done anything for that light to just become a flame. You have not done anything to add more sticks to it. And you're just carrying it. You're doing what you're saying. But you have lived in a point of time which is possibly not relevant now. And that's what God is like saying, hey, come get oil. He wants us to get oil because he believes like in us. He wants us. It's come get oil. Like come receive Jesus. It's come get oil. Come know the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. Oil. You know, I'm a geologist, and so I was like, oh man, I should get this cool video of 30 seconds how oil is formed, right? Because oil is formed from dead matter. Right, dead things, things that die and basically go and get buried and go through all this temperature and pressure and everything, and then it seeps its way into the right place. It finds its place into the right place magically. And that's just in nature. Dead things. The dead things in your life that go through pressure, that go through temperature, that go through all that hardship, moves from a different place to a different place, has motion, and then comes and settles in a place, a reservoir, where it becomes oil. That is the oil you carry in the natural. Think of it like that. In the natural, if you were oil, Be oil. Like, you know, Bruce Lee says, be water, my friend, but be oil. This is where you are. You've gone through all this pursuit and all this hardship and something to learn a process that you've brought you to this place. You know what happens sometimes from this reservoir? It oil breaks from this reservoir and moves to another reservoir. It finds another place. See, if in earth oil does that, why not us find a better this way of moving into a new revelation? You see, because the, okay, let me explain to you. Oil has a lot of these carbons, right? C1 to C30 and more, right? And all the light carbons basically move out. The heavy ones just stay back, and the light ones move out, and that becomes better crude. Your revelation has to refine to become much better. You see, I cannot take this and say, Jesus, this is all I have. You told me, and there are people, don't count me wrong, they've just heard God, they were going to kill themselves, and I know them for 40, 50 years of their life. All they preach is come to Jesus. That's fine, that's a message. But the revelation from the Word has to change every day, has to increase, has to expound, has to become greater than just the message, because that's where the character is. If answered prayer became the, what do you say, like a certificate of saying that you're a holy person, then we don't qualify. Let me tell you that. Because we think it's like, oh, all your prayers got answered on this page? Oh man, you must be really holy. That's wrong theology. Amen. That's wrong. Amen. Change that. You know, what's his name? James Jordan, right? He says in 40 years, if basically your theology has not changed, that means there's something wrong that you're living in. Because theology, there's right and wrong, there's black and white, and then there's this gray. 80% of the content we learn is gray. And we basically think this is the truth, and we basically install it, and we make shrines out of this and say that, okay, you don't bow down to this, that means you are wrong. No, 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 your theology has to change. That's where we have to come to that understanding, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. You see, because what has happened is we have settled down with this very thing, is that we understand this is how the anointing is, like how I say Jesus and the anointing just go boom. Yeah, we understand that part of it. But now what, Jesus, with that anointing? You see, there's a very different anointing. And it's funny, the engagement that one when we have with the Holy Spirit, it just changes things. Like I stood over there and I was like, God, this anointing is very different. And I was like, because I'm used to anointing, like, you know, let's go. I can move in this direction, I can go this direction. And the word that came that it is structured. And I was like, God, why is it structured? He's like, you're teaching. I was like, oh, this anointing is very different because it is structured. Because the wild person in me is like, whoa, Jesus, you know, yeah. But it's suddenly like, I just feel this. It's like, you know, in the midst of all this loopiness and all that, I'm just suddenly feeling like I'm zoned in. I can just fall down. I can do whatever I want, but that anointing is not shifting. It's like I'm structured. You know, and I kept looking at this because I kept looking at this. There's so much. I literally wanted to call Pastor Lena and say, can you help me like trying to figure this structure? And then I was like, Holy Spirit, do you know which way I have to go? He's like, just go. You see, and when I came in, I stepped into that, I just knew there was a teaching anointing. Very different, but structured. You know, and it's, I like it. You know, for people, for somebody who does things by the seat of their pants, this is different. You know, it's just kind of like, you know, and it changes. It changes. It means I understand that. The prophetic basically, you know, intertwines with the teaching anointing and moves into that. You can move healing. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. He's like, okay, step in this. This will happen. Come back, go back. You know, and in and out, and we can kind of see that. And so I was thinking like this is like, okay. So 2 weeks ago, right? 2 weeks ago, I basically had this experience where about this oil and what I'm talking about. And I basically stood over there and I said, okay, do I want this oil of the natural, because I understand it in my natural understanding of, like, you know, life and all the pressures and, you know, things we have gone through and just the oil of that, or do I still want the oil of the Holy Spirit? And I just stood over there and I just said, oil of the Holy Spirit. Because you think, right, it's your medals, right? You've gone through life, you've battled through things, It's your revelation. It's things. And you just come in and say, hey, this is good. I'm comfortable in this. And then you have to become, what do you say? Not weak. You have to give up all your claim, all your rights, and just say, I'm just choosing to step into this Holy Spirit where I have no control, I have no understanding, I have no idea which way I'm going, but I just choose that and faith. And I'm just stepping into that. That's all we have. This next season, and this is why I'm telling you this, this next season is going to be so dark, it's going to be so crazy. Without the Holy Spirit, you're just going to feel that you're just wandering. You're just going to feel that you're just going into this abyss. You're just going to feel that everything that you're thinking is just suddenly it will become cloudy. And you're like, when you feel that, know that you need the Holy Spirit that moment. If you just don't, like literally I'm telling you, it's like for you're going to come to this point, I believe in this coming time, and this is where I think God's teaching. And it's not just you, it's even for me, it's like a daily manna. The understanding of daily manna is going to become so real. It's like, hey, one word from God will change your life, but one word from God will direct you every day of your life. Let's advance that. You see, because okay, we have that one word, fine. But all I'm seeing is that while I'm stumbling over everything on a daily basis, and I can avoid it because the word says that my feet will not hit a stone. I will not stumble. Well, I will not break a bone. Right? And so in that, we have to have something on a daily basis. And that is our daily sustenance. You see, and so we come to that point. And so I was like thinking, is like, how do I get normally the holy oil of the Holy Spirit, right? Oil/Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, speaking in tongues, right? Whenever you can, you just speak in tongues on a very daily basis. You know, even, yeah, when you're with people also, that's fine. Spending time with God, enjoying his presence and listening to what he has to say. Because sometimes prayer time is a very separate thing, and spending time with God, enjoying his presence, is a very different thing. We have to understand that. It is a lot more work. Let me say it again. It's a lot more work because oil needs the work. When your heart gets dry, you need the oil to be massaged into your heart. You need to soak in that oil. You need your heart to become that malleable, your heart to have that. It's like, you know, when you see those commercials, what, CLR or whatever, you know, where they clear the rust and all, and they pour it, and then it just bubbles and it fizzes away, and then you wash it, and then maybe some more scales are there, and you pour it again, and you do it again and again. That's sometimes how our heart is. We have blockages in the heart. We have things in the heart that have to die and fall off, and we have to basically come under that oil, let that oil massage it. You know, like how you're saying the sheep, when the sheep get hurt, you put oil in their wounds. You massage the oil in their wounds so they get healed. They don't get infected. You see, and so oil is necessary. There are places in our hearts, even right now, people have hurt us, people have said things to us, people have done things to us, and that hurt has come to that place where we suddenly, it is changing the very character of who we are supposed to be. And because of that, because we have not got oil in our lives to massage into that wound to cause that healing, we expect it to instantly go away without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on a daily basis. And all we have to do is say, yes, yes, Holy Spirit, I forgive that person. If it is that. Sometimes it is just forgive myself. You know, and get the oil into that situation. And I guess that it's funny because, you know, when we were at that conference, the Todd White's conference, they were singing that Keith Green song where it's oil and wine for the heart, oil and wine for the heart. And I'm like, okay, but what about crusty hearts? They need to be massaged into that, you know, and I'm literally, and I went and I prayed for this one guy and I told him, he's like, hey man, your heart needs oil and wine. Because the wine needs, you need the joy of the Lord, and your oil also you need because for your heart to function and to become like others, it's gone hard and it's gone cold. And that's how we sometimes have to basically be able to say, I need that in my own heart. You see, even though I prayed that for that guy, I said, I need that even in my own heart. Soak my heart, O Lord. Because what it does is that one, just a flick of light, a fire, will catch onto my heart, and my heart will burn like bright again. You see, and so sometimes it's like we have to challenge ourselves to step into that. And I enjoy, like, you know, talking to y'all, seriously. Because it's not like I've tried to explain to people who I don't know. You see, I'm not trying to go beyond a certain barrier and say, okay, people, let's, you know, come to Jesus. Jesus is sweet. Jesus is good. I'm come to the kind of people where it's like, you know, so the, what do you call it? The 10 virgins, right? It says the 10 virgins were like the kingdom of God. You are like the kingdom of God, right? So now there are 5 who are wise and 5 who are foolish. We can change that number. We can say there are 10 who are wise and none that are foolish. But it's a choice we make in our hearts. You see? And so that. So we come to that, and then it's like learning to quiet our souls. That's another way that we basically can come to this point of, like, you know, how to get more oil. In worship also. You see, there's one thing about giving and one thing about receiving and then giving. So sometimes I err on the second side, that I don't try to stir myself up. But you see, there are two, I don't know, whether it's schools of teaching or it's just how people naturally gravitate to something. The initial thing is like you create the hype. You know, if you ever went to an Indian church, we go like, dun, 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 dun. We have tambourines and all. And you just talk in tongues and you just go, da, 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 da. Like, and that is worship, right? And you just create that frenzy that literally people who sit on the floor just start jumping from one side to the other. And it's just very natural. But, the you know, it's God. It's just a different style, you know, and that's God. But what happens at that point is we have just learned one way. And sometimes in all that busyness, all that doing, we need to pull away and say, okay, Holy Spirit, now what? Holy Spirit, in worship, what was this? What are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to say to the corporate body of Christ? What are you just saying to the world even right now? And in worship, we engage in a very different way. So sometimes in, like, when it's funny. I mean, I'm giving you a lot of my own experiences because that's how I learn and understand things. When it will be like really loud, okay? I love loud music. I don't know if you know, but I love it loud. And when there's like everybody's engaging and everyone's screaming and shouting and all that, at that very time, I just feel this pull to pull away. And I've never understood this. I've never understood this. And I'm like, you know, putting myself out there in a very different way because it's like you'll understand. If you see me, you'll understand what I am doing at that moment. And it's just like, it just has this different pull because I can get carried away in this whole thing and just be part of a procession. And or I can just choose to make this tabernacle in my heart at that moment and say, okay, Lord, I just make you king right now. You see, I move from a very physical aspect of our worship into a way that we're literally even like, I don't have to lift my hands. My all of all is in me is just connecting to Jesus. I've just chosen that right way. I've chosen to go right. I've chosen to go that direction. Because that's all what is in me is like my heart is pulling me to do. You see, and it's just a style. It's just a different way of doing something. And you just wonder, like, you know, why I picked this up or why. And if it helps you, do it, you know. I wrote this because I felt this was very important. Answered prayer is not any indicator of a person's lifestyle. And what happens is that we see people who are blessed. We see people, and it's not that we are not called to be blessed, but it's not about that. It's not about that what your prayers got answered or whatever. And I just feel this thing is that there's a teaching that people have said, if you're not walking in full blessings, it's like you're not in covenant with God. I'm sorry. You know, if you, and just break that off you also. Because I believe that covenant people, this is how crazy it is. When I got a word, I believe it was, about things being good, for a moment in my heart, I stepped into this thing as saying, the challenge is coming. And this was before all my getting laid off and all. And literally the word said, and I always have struggled with that word a little bit because I'm like, to me it feels opposite. Because in my heart, I know that God is challenging me to come to a point where he wants me to flex my muscles. He wants me to flex my faith. He wants me to believe. And I just feel that. And so if you come to places like that, know in your heart is that God is with you, that he wants you to develop. Because if he's not getting you to develop and you're just doing the same thing again and again and again, nothing changed, you know? Would that be a new incense unto God? Would that be a new offering? Would that be, you know? And we have to kind of ask ourselves those questions. You see, it's like, so the rebuke is on that. The rebuke and correction is heavily on that because it's like, am I giving him a stale offering? A thing again and again and again. Man, I can eat butter chicken every day, right? And after some time, like literally, the butter chicken goes like, ugh. Like, you know, I can't handle it. But, and this is, you're giving it unto Jesus. You're giving it unto God in the whole worship. And you're like, yeah, from there, that's only what will come. Like, can we do it something different? Can we make it a new smell, a new noise, a new sound? You know, it's like, yeah, let's go try Ethiopian food, right? So it came down to this. It's like, you know, so I was looking at this. And so I'm like, while we're focusing on that, it said even trim the wicks. Like, you know, because what happens is that you're doing everything. You're in the Holy of Holies. And because I'm talking to you, it's like in the Holy of Holies, this light had to be shining. It cannot be that black light. It had to be blue light. You know, and when we say blue, everything, revelation and all that. And that's fine. And at that point, we were like, But it was all about the lampstand, right? And so when you think of the lampstand, so I went to research the lampstand-ish thing. You know, it's not that I know what one talent is. One talent of gold was given to them and said, make a lampstand out of this and beat it up to make the lampstand. One talent is 75 kgs, so it would be, what, 150 pounds of gold. So everybody got that same amount. Didn't matter which sanctuary, which church, which wherever you came, which person you are, everyone got that one talent of gold, right? You take that one talent of gold, now beat it up that you have those seven, what do you say, branches, the menorah. To make the menorah, so you have basically six which are connected and one which is the seventh, right? So everybody has the same talent, the same Jesus, right? Because the gold was beaten. The gold is purified by fire, you see? And that same Jesus is given to all of you when you get saved, right? So when the same Jesus is given to you, those six branches is the number of man, human, right? And the seventh is completion. The seventh is you are made complete in Christ Jesus, right? That same one talent, what you have, can look very different than what she has, right? And think of it like that. But it's the same one talent. How you shape it, how you design it, how your revelation works with that, you have the same ability with that one talent to beat it, but it has a very different look, you know, like I look different than him. And that's how it is. It's the same thing. So now in that seven, there are like three branches that are connected, right? So the three that are connected, so there is wisdom and understanding get connected. Okay, we see that thing. Counsel and might, because if you have power but you don't have the counsel and understanding of how to use your power, you become basically like wild, right? And so it loses its value. Knowledge and fear of God, because you can fear God, but you can have the right knowledge of why you fear God and then only do things which basically bring you to the right place. You see? And then there's that one, you know, one branch which basically is connecting you directly like the person of Jesus. You see? And so in the oil, we have to fill those things for our daily life, those six different things that they function in us. We all are able to function in that. It's not that you just need a special unction to function in, you know, wisdom, power, all that. It's just there. It's yours. You see? And because it's like you fill yourself, and on a daily basis, you fill yourself, you bring to that. Okay? The branches were made to look like an almond flower on the top, right? An almond flower is why you think of it as the flower. So this, in the Ark of the Covenant, right, when Aaron's rod was thrown, the blossoms or the blooms that came were basically an almond flower that basically said Jesus was going to be die and he resurrected and he came again, and so that's why it's kept in the Holy of Holies. So they had this as an indication of that you're connected all to Jesus. And this is too technical, tell me I can break it down, but it's that part of it. And so the almonds, right, they spring in February, early February or kind of late February. That's the first plant after a very harsh winter that blooms in Israel. You must have gone through a very hard time, fine. But now it's time for that bloom to start coming out. You think that nothing is working for you, but everything is working for your good. You see, it doesn't matter where you have been, it doesn't matter what you are, because that's what God is wanting in your life, the bloom to come forth. You know, and literally I had this, I seen this thing. Okay, think of ocean currents. What is connected to ocean currents? Why do oceans have waves? Anybody? Huh? Gravitational pull. Do you see gravitational pull? No. But the oceans, doesn't matter where you are, whether it's day or night, that ocean is moving. That ocean is constant. And God wants the wave in you to rise. God wants the wave in you to rise because that is just a projection of Him. As you are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, He's just saying, hey, let that wave in you rise. I felt that wave just come in. And suddenly I step back. And I, you know, because people give words. It's like, oh, it's going to be this mighty wave of revival and all that. And then I just step back and I said, that's very common to say. That's very common. I don't want the generic. I don't want this thing because, you know, it's a, arise, shine. Yeah, everybody says. 80%, 90% of the churches will say, arise, shine. But I'm like, arise, wave. Oh, that looks cool. And I was like, but why would I say that? Because to me, everything I get, I have to check with God and say, hey, what's the scripture for this? You know, because that's how you check. You don't just come up and say, like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, to me, it's like I have to have, like, you know, that scripture. I'm like, it's like, he's like, who controls the oceans? I was like, the moon? And who controls the moons and the suns? Oh, you do. Okay, okay, we got it. He said, like, that is the Holy Spirit in you, and it's time to arise. The wave in you has to arise. It has to arise. And because it's coming like that, you know, it's because for long we're happy being in the ocean. We're happy playing in the water. And at some point, this wave has to hit the land. It has to hit the unredeemed. The wave of God in you, in you. Not a separate event. This is the combination of Jesus in us, the hope of glory, coming in as a wave and then hitting the land. Not just you just riding and falling off it possibly. No, 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 no. God wants you. He can do it, but He still wants you. That is how sweet He is. Jesus wants you. He wants you that the wave in you develop. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The first wave doesn't seem right enough. Okay, okay, okay. The second wave doesn't seem right enough. But now the third wave. Yeah, let that go. You see? And then like suddenly it's like something else comes in and like say, oh man, these waves are just increasing. And they're just going and taking ground again and again. Right now it may seem like you're far away. But the tide's going to change. And that's what I believe, that God is going to release. The tide's going to change. The tide's going to change because the Son of God is going to come closer. As the Son of God comes closer, the gravitational pull even of the earth and everything that controls the earth and the elements of the earth, everything changes. So let the Son come in. Just let the Son come in. You're going to come into this place called the Holy of Holies. Into this place of the Holy of Holies, there is an altar on your left. With all the lights burning. If that is not burning, you will never see the showbread. You will never see the altar of incense, where prayers are made for the saints. You need the oil to light that lamp. You need the oil to see the bread of the word. You need that revelation light right now in your hearts. A change of lifestyle, yes, because priests are called daily. Priests are called daily. Come commune with me. Come eat with me. Come sup with me. But first, come get oil. Even the oil put into this is beaten oil. The olive oil was beaten. Yeah. Come get oil. I just believe that for you to have any understanding of intercession, you have to come to this place with the Holy Spirit. Because think of it like, okay, I walk in to the holy place. Here is the menorah. Here is the candlesticks. Here is the lampstand. On the other side is the bread. the table of bread where you sup with them. Come get oil. Come sup with me. When you do these things, you can then go to the altar of incense where you light incenses like prayers. Prayers for the nation. Prayers for whatever you're called. Do not spend time, and this is what I believe, worrying about your things for yourself. Because, and this is where the, I know, it's like, I understand what some people feel, right? But what I, the trick of the enemy is this. He wants to distract us enough about our own self that where we become selfish and we become like the Dead Sea, where we do not become the river of God. The river of God has life. The river of God goes where whatever it touches has life. You know? And I believe that river is in me. You see, because everywhere I go, I have to carry that life. But if I don't move, how will I carry that life? If that river doesn't move, how will I move, bring life to somebody else? You see? And so sometimes this is where I feel, and so the rebuke and correction. I've come with that in my heart, but I only know that God would basically give me the grace to convert that into, you know, something that pierces, breaks down, and recreates stuff even in us. And I just believe that because it's a very difficult thing for me to tell you is like, hey, you need to change. This part of our life has to change. Because you know what? I love tea. I love coffee. I love tea. If I drank tea, but if I ate something sweet before I drink tea, the tea loses its sweetness. But why would I do that? If there was something sweeter, yes, I would do that. There's a revelation that is waiting for you, which because you have just said that all I want is I want to drink tea. I want this same taste. And God's saying, no. Change it. There is something better. There's something sweeter. Come taste me. Come eat with me. And that's what made those people get upset with Jesus and leave him. Because he said, come eat and drink. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. There was something better. It was not to disgust them. It was to say, come and understand the reality of me. If today, March, whatever, 12, 11, I forgot what it is. Oh, by the way, today is Purim, the weekend of Purim. I just realized that. And it's so if today is a day that we set in our hearts as saying, hey, from March onwards, March 4th, become that the real army of God. Set those things in our heart. Set those things like, I'm going to spend this time not praying for myself. You see, because prayer is good. But Jesus is saying, spend time with me. Just spend time. And it is funny that I had this conversation with my mom maybe a couple of weeks ago, and she's like, I've just started just sitting and not even wanting to sing a song, but just sitting quietly and just waiting. You see, because our processes have taught us in the natural that do this, and do this, and the presence of God will show up. That's fine. But now, what if you just sat and said, okay, God, just drop one thing in my heart. Just that clarity. You know? And that's what I believe is that what we have to step into this new season is that part of it, that it has to drop into our hearts. We have to hear this one word. We have to feel this inkling in us to just pull us to a side and say, come on this way. And that's what I feel that you know, the funny thing is Matthew 25, where the 10 virgins story is. The next story after that 10 virgins is about the talents. Pull that up, Keith, if you can. Matthew 25, 13, 14. Bring both those verses up if you can. And I was laughing about it because it was just like, you know, I just sat and I was like, because you get focused, right? When you're preaching, you get focused. You're trying to cut everything off and just get the right thing and all. And I just looked at it, and I was just looking on my phone. And I was like, why is the next verse about this? And because to me, everything is all about the oil. All about the oil. Get the oil, get the oil, get the oil. Like everything I had to pare down, because that is the intent of my message. Get oil. Come, get oil. And then it became this, that lampstand and all that because of that talent. Yes, we have that same revelation, right, of Jesus in us, that one talent. But then in this, so that ends that story about where it's like saying, hey, watch. Okay, so the key in that even is that verse 13, according to my translation, whichever it is, I have no idea today. It keeps it very interesting to me that I just change translations. They were told, watch. Verse 13 in that is saying, watch. Be active. Watch. And this is where our lifestyle has to change. From being saved is like, hey, be active and watch. Be active and watch. Eyes, what are you watching? What are you spending time seeing? What are you time focusing on? What are you really looking at? Your eyes. Even as your ears, your eye gate, your ear gate and all. It's very funny. In the prophetic, we tell people is like that eye and the ear thing is like, you know, what you have to be very careful about, right? But in your eyes, God wants you to watch, but in an active sense, is like constantly. I could be like eyes closed and whatever, but in my eyes of my heart, I am watching. I am watching. Holy Spirit, where? You know, and that's what you want. And I'm telling you this because it's like, do it. It's a very different form of engaging because it's like, yeah, it seems like I know what I have to do, but you're not doing it. Right? I tell myself, it's like, hey, like, you know, hey, wake up. Yeah, it says like, wake up. Like when the bridegroom came, they shouted, wake up, for the bridegroom is here. What is your response at that time? Would you just feel like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now? That's what they were doing. The foolish were like, hey, help me out. And I always, okay, I have to explain the story because I always had a thing against the wise virgins in this. Because I was like, you were wise, right? Why didn't you have enough oil for all your friends? Period, like, you know. But if you read a different translation saying they took their lamps and they took flasks, not a flask, but flask, many flasks. So they were very prepared. And so these people had seen them do that. They chose a lifestyle to say, this is comfortable. I'm happy where I am right now. Let me and my little lamb, let my Jesus shine. That's all they had. And then when great darkness came, did they have enough? Did they have enough for the journey? Think like this. There's an event happening that you have to see Jesus to the end of your life for the next, whatever, 80 years. Okay? Do you have enough oil for that? Think like this. Don't give yourself as like, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. This is for the kingdom of God, the 10 virgins. Do you have enough light for when you see Jesus that, hey, Jesus, I'm here. Jesus literally shut the door and said, so long. Ta-da. He said, I don't know you. What happened to all your revelation and everything and everything and all? And that's how I check my own heart. It's like, hey, yeah. I have all these revelations of these Bibles and all these books and all. But at that point, when I cannot enter the door because I didn't have oil, I was not awake, I didn't even wait to find oil because there was nobody else to give me oil. Because it just had, I had to have the Holy Spirit. What happens then? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Same thing. The second story. Jesus gives you a talent now. Right? For some, he gives 5. Some, he gives 2. And some, he gives 1. You have this talent now. Okay? What are you going to do with it? It's all the same intent. The intent of this whole story is to say, hey, whether it was, you know, a single person, a group of people, this is what it comes down to. what are you going to do with what you have now? You have to increase it. In getting, increase it. That's all. How would you increase it? If you don't like what I do, that's fine. Find something, share it with others, and say, hey, this is what's working for me. This is what I feel like, you know, more oil. This is, like, you know, literally, okay, when we find oil, right, there'll be one person first who went into a certain area of the field and found oil. And then you'll find all these 10 other companies running around trying to find oil in the same thing. But what have you said in your heart is like, hey, there's a revival going on. I can go get oil over there. Like, you know, but you said, no, nah, I'm too proud. I'm happy sitting here. The revival will happen over here. But what if your choice was you had to be over there and you never ever listened to the Holy Spirit and you just said, I'm happy here. Let revival happen there. Oh, let them be blessed. I can watch it on TV. That's the intent of our heart. That's the pursuit after God. It's like, what if one moment in that place, in a parking lot, can change your life? And I know people whose lives have changed in parking lots just by one touch. You know, so think like that. In that sense, is like, how does it feel? You see, so my whole intent, like in all this thing, is get enough oil for the journey, and then Matthew 25:23, see what it says. Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well done. Enter, come, share in the joy of your Lord. This whole thing comes to a culmination where it's like, yeah, you'll be a ruler of many things over here after you even do all these things. But not only a ruler of things, but a ruler of kingdom currency, a ruler of faith, a ruler that says basically, I said this and it has to be done in Jesus' name. Blind, open eyes. That's your faith. That's what you become a ruler of. That suddenly you have dominion over cancer. You say, cancer burned right now in Jesus' name. That's what I'm a ruler over. I can say yes. And that's what Jesus said. He's like, hey, the centurion had great faith. He knew how he would say, we go, and they would go. He'd say, come, and they would come. Let heaven come on earth. Become a ruler of those things. You know? And so I believe that this is the time where we basically, you have to set your own time frame. You know, there's a Kairos time and we're waiting and all, but on a daily basis, your calendar has to be set like this. It's like, okay, I'm expecting Jesus, but I'm just going to be doing this on a regular basis that suddenly he finds me in the field and he says, hey, come, jump in now. You see, none of the disciples were like, hey, enroll me into the school. You know, nowadays we explain Christianity and we explain Christianity to people. It's like, come, there's an internship program, there's this, and that's okay. But Jesus and I said, hey, I found you there. I want you to come join now. You know, and sometimes it's like, yeah, there's an advanced school. Yeah, let's jump into that advanced school. What does it take? Just our time, our effort. That's all he's asking for. That's it. Everything else that you were working, if you thought like Elisha, you just went, sacrificed it, burnt it, you know, or you become Peter and say, hey, one day I'll go back to that. That's fine. But at that moment, now God is calling you to work that, to increase your talent, let your one become two, let your two become four, let your eight become 10. What are you doing for that actively? This is the challenge. This is what lays before you. And that's all we have to basically see and say, hey, this is what I want. If you want this, okay. You know, God is able to pour and say, okay, I'll help you. If your heart is crusty, that needs massaging, it will take a little time, but in a day it will change because God is with you. At no point God is not with you. But now how much more do you want the person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in you? You see, that's pretty much all that I have.